Reading from Hosea chapter 10, verse 13. You have plowed wickedness and reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Question: what happens when a society allows lawlessness? Answer: the innocent suffer. This is exactly what we are seeing in our society. Through the decades, we have plowed wickedness and ate its lies, and now it has sprouted into a monster. This monster raised its ugly head in our city on Wednesday, March 27th, when Christian Soto, age 22, murdered 4 people and injured 7 others in a drug-fueled stabbing rampage. Those killed include 63-year-old Ramona Subpach, 49-year-old Jay Larson, 23-year-old Jacob Subpach, and 15-year-old Jenna Newcomb. This crime hit Jim and I in a different way than a lot of crimes do because it happened in our old neighborhood. We had just moved out of this neighborhood last year. In fact, Jay Larson, the postal worker who was killed, was our postman. He was the nicest man you ever could meet. He was murdered in our former neighbor's driveway. We walked almost every day down the streets where these people were attacked. The murderous attacks began after Soto visited Jacob's home to smoke marijuana. Soto claims that Jacob laced it with something and it made him paranoid and crazy after he took the drugs. And so he went into their kitchen and took a knife and stabbed both Ramona and Jacob. Incidentally, Soto and Jacob had been friends since childhood. After he got done murdering Jacob and his mother, he went on to stab Jay Larson, our former postman, and run him over with his truck a few times, just to make sure he was dead. Jim went to the wake to offer his condolence to the Larson family, and they told the story of what really happened. It's very gruesome, and I'm not going to repeat it here. So Soto decided that wasn't good enough, so he went into another home and attacked people with a Cantana-style knife. The people inside that home survived, so that didn't really do anything for him, so he broke into another home and attacked 3 girls with a baseball bat. 15-year-old Jenna Newcomb died trying to protect her sister and a friend. Still not done, Soto attacked a young woman who ran away from him, and a passerby by the name of Keith Farney hopped out of his car to help the woman. Both Farney and the woman suffered stab wounds to the face and hands, but they will recover. Police arrived at the scene just when this was going on and apprehended Soto less than a half hour after the attacks began. I think the police should be applauded for their quick reaction because they spared others from Soto's murderous rampage. I don't think he was going to stop until somebody stopped him. Many American streets have become unsafe because many cities have become lawless. Lawlessness is more than just people committing crimes. Lawlessness occurs when the law is disregarded by those who are in charge. It is dangerous when criminals know there will be no consequences for their crimes. The Bible is plain about how the lack of punishment creates more evil. Ecclesiastes tells us, when justice is not executed promptly and appropriately, bad people will become more and more evil. Lawlessness is a concept spoken against throughout the Bible. The word used in the New Testament for lawlessness is anomia, which means against the law. Jesus made a prediction about the last days in Matthew 24:12. Because lawlessness, anomia, will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. We've certainly had lawless cycles in world history, but Jesus indicates that this isn't going to be just a cycle. It's a way of life. Could it be turned around? Yes, but it would take an unswerving collective commitment to biblical principles. That means everybody would have to at least agree to follow the Ten Commandments in our society. Jesus' prediction that lawlessness would increase in leaps and bounds is coming true right before our very eyes. The thing that is helping it increase is the breakdown of the law by governing bodies in our country. Several states have instituted no cash bail. Several large cities have a catch and release policy. This has allowed dangerous actors to roam the streets committing crimes without restraint. Christian Soto was one of these dangerous people. He had a felony arrest from 2020 and several traffic offenses. The felony charge was dropped. If Soto had been held accountable, especially for the felony, he may not have been on the streets on March 27th. The blending of anomia, lawlessness, into our nation's legal system is a serious threat to all of us. An Illinois state representative filed a bill, 4603, which basically said that the police can't stop you until you're going 25 miles an hour over the speed limit. Putting that into perspective, out here in Harrison, you could go 70 miles an hour before a police officer would stop you, and you could go 55 in neighborhoods where there are usually children playing. Thankfully, the Go Right Ahead and Speed bill was withdrawn due to public outcry. But the fact that this lawmaker tried to get such a law-breaking, reckless bill passed is alarming. People would have been killed. It's a given. The Institute for Road Safety states, even as little as a 5 mile an hour over the speed limit is associated with an 8.5% increase in fatality rates. Imagine what the fatality rate would be at 25 miles an hour over the speed limit. Squatting is another extreme example of lawlessness, either condoned or ignored from city and state officials. In Texas, a homeowner was locked out of her house by a squatter. The police told her, "It's a civil matter. We can't help you. Take it to court." In New York, the police refused to remove squatters from a woman's home. When she changed the locks on her house to keep the squatters from coming in, she was arrested. This crime is being played out in many cities across the United States. The courts do nothing to assist homeowners. Instead, homeowners are forced to pay excessive legal fees in court to try to remove squatters. And this process can and does take years. The courts refuse to prosecute squatters because they don't want people to think they're being mean to the homeless. This makes squatters unbelievably brazen. Squatting is not a difficult problem to solve. It simply requires that the police and prosecutors enforce existing laws. Lawlessness is not a political issue. It isn't a racial issue. In part, it's a human rights issue. Victims of lawlessness lose their property and sometimes their lives. That's a human rights issue if I ever saw one. But before that, before it's even a human rights issue, lawlessness is a spiritual issue. It's a sin problem. If we want to solve the problems with lawlessness in our country, we have to admit how large the problem of sin has become. And the first step is to admit we have a problem, right? We've always had lawlessness in our society to one degree or another, but lawlessness seems to have taken a turn for the worse. When I was a kid, my brothers and I would ride our bikes all over town, and the only time my parents seemed concerned is if we didn't show up for lunch or dinner. My dad would whistle a clear, sharp whistle that could be heard anywhere we might be, and that was our signal to go home. There is no way in this whole wide world Vivi will even go around the block without one of us keeping an eagle eye on her. Fear of what those with lawless intentions would do will keep Vivi from living the carefree childhood that I did. The effects of increasing lawlessness impacts our lives in big and small ways. Medications and supplements have these crazy safety caps that most of us break a sweat trying to get open. Why? Because of the Tylenol murders of 1982. The extra effort and frustration of opening a bottle of medication is a result of an earlier lawless act. It used to be that I could buy allergy medications right off the shelf and go through the self-checkout at Walmart. But now, when I scan my allergy medication, the red light starts going off and I stand there like I did something and everybody turns to look. And pretty soon a cashier will come over and check my ID to make sure that I'm over 18 or 21, whatever it was. Just look, lady, I am. And she, then I'm allowed to buy the medication. Now, why do I have to go through this process? Because lawless people were buying up allergy meds to make meth out of them. The Apostle Paul said Jesus came to save us from this kind of stuff, from lawlessness. As Christians, we are to reject lawlessness out of our respect for what Christ has done for us. Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. We can get mad, and we do. We can blame the government, and we do. We can point fingers at this group or at that group, and we do. But none of these actions will solve anything. What will solve the problem we have is a personal and national adherence to biblical morality. Paul says, we must renounce all ungodly behavior. We must live godly lives and pursue good works. The good news is, the Bible tells us that someday we will be set free from lawlessness. I'm going to exegete Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 5, so bear with me. It might seem a little tedious at first. What I'm really trying to do is build up to something. I'm trying to give us all a little bit of hope for the future. Reading now, it shall come to pass in the latter days. Isaiah is referring to the time of the Messiah, when Jesus Christ will reign over the earth. Broadly, this speaks of the time referred to as the millennium, or the 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth. That the mountain of the Lord, the house of the Lord, shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. During the millennium, Israel will be the superpower of the world. It will be the leading nation in all the earth. At the center of Israel will be the mountain, the Lord's house, the Temple Mount. It will be the capital of the government of the Messiah, and all nations will come to the capital of Jesus' government for justice. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. During the reign of the Messiah, not everybody is going to be a Christian. Earth citizens will still need to trust in Jesus Christ for their personal salvation. But Christian or not, the citizens of the earth will acknowledge and submit to the authority of Jesus. They will actually want to be taught and follow God's commandments. It will be a time when God's laws will be followed perfectly, and there will be righteousness on the earth. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. War, armed conflict, and violent crimes will not be tolerated in Jesus' millennium. There will be worldwide crackdown on violence to such a degree that there will be no need for weapons. Weapons will be refurnished into farming tools. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. During the reign of the Messiah, there will be no war, no violence. Conflicts will occur between nations and individuals, but they will justly and decisively be resolved by the Messiah. We all long for a day when there won't be any wars or violence in our streets, and that day is going to come. But in the meantime, we must live as if the Messiah is reigning right now. We need to order our lives after God's truth and after his ways. The ultimate reign of the Messiah may be years away, but Jesus can reign in our lives, in our minds, and in our hearts right now if we give him the room to do it. When we allow Jesus to reign, there is an inner peace despite what else is going on around us. We won't have to wait for the enforced righteousness of the millennium to experience the security and comfort that Jesus provides. I'm going to read that last verse. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Isaiah is telling us, while we are waiting for Jesus to return, we should walk in the light of the Lord. We don't have to live in a dark, depressing, fearful life. We can walk in God's light. What gets you down? What makes you afraid? It cannot extinguish the light of the Lord. The light of the Lord is stronger than your fears or the things that make you depressed. Can our current lawless condition dim the light of the Lord? No. Can spiritual attacks dim the light of the Lord? No. Can the burden of personal guilt and shame dim the light of the Lord? It cannot. It is not possible. The light of the Lord cannot be dimmed or blown out. It shines brightly in the darkest places, showing us the way to go. Let us then walk confidently in the light of the Lord while we wait for Jesus to come.